Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
We're so glad that you're here with us. We know we got a few that are out of town this week, so thank you for listening on the podcast, on our website. Today, I really feel like we're part of history, and so really excited about what's going to be revealed here in just a moment. From now, just real quick, I've got to share about Kingdom Builders, and then we'll jump in. Normally, we do like series here at the church, and that way we can track together and know kind of where we're moving. And we'll go through a book of the Bible a lot of times, and then other times we'll focus on a subject, and then we'll move through that way. But last week and this week have been a little bit different, a little bit special, because we've had message singles, so standalone messages. And I think today's going to be a really good one. In fact, I was praying for you early this morning, and I really think that God's going to do a great work in your life. Before all of that, though, I've got to share some big news with you. And so I hope I've got that opportunity to do that. Now, I know when you hear that, you think maybe I like to hear it only if it's good news. Maybe you thought that before. And we'll find out here in a moment if it's good news or bad news. But I'm really excited about it. That lets you know where we're going. I made it public at the beginning of March, for those of you that are part of our church a couple of months ago. But the first Sunday of March, we had Vision Sunday. And honestly, I approached you like in fear and trembling, just saying, hey, I feel like I've heard from God, and I'm going to say this out loud publicly for the first time. And if God doesn't come through, it ain't going to happen. That's essentially what we talked about on Vision Sunday back in March. And as I laid that out to you, there was just really a stir in the house. And I just want to say a big thank you to the many of you that have texted me and sent me messages on social media and just personal conversations saying, hey, Pastor, we're with you. And it's just really been a good time. After Vision Sunday, we went on a six-week journey, and some of you will remember this, a six-week journey through the Godly Leadership book, a book in the Bible called Nehemiah, a great Old Testament book. And then that led us up to Easter Sunday, and we shared last week. It was awesome. We hit all our goals for Easter. We had 28 salvations on the day. It was just incredible what God did. Y'all know they couldn't put another chair in this auditorium on Sunday. And so I shared all that last week, but I talked about this week. I'm going to share about Kingdom Builders. But first, I want to read to you our theme verses, because I want to remind you really what our theme's been during this season since that first Sunday in March. It won't be on the screen, but it's Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 15 through 16. This is talking about what God's people did back then, and we use it as inspiration for us today. So the wall was finished. That's what they were doing, rebuilding the walls of God's city, Jerusalem. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it. And we've been talking about this last several weeks, that if you don't have enemies, you're probably not doing anything for the Lord, because you're going to have haters whenever you're doing something for God. When all our enemies heard of it and all the nations around us saw these things, they were very disheartened in their own eyes. And this is the last phrase here that we focused on. For they perceived, this is unbelievers, okay? For they perceived that this work was done by our God. So even unbelievers testified of God's goodness because they saw what the people of God did. And so this has been our inspiration and what we've been focusing on. And again, if we were able to do this, no one could have got the credit for it. It would have been God himself. In fact, this last week, and even specifically yesterday, I was texting a group text with some of the staff and the elders, and we were talking about this, and we're like, yeah, when you first told me this, Pastor Ryan, we didn't honestly think it could be done. Like, that's staff and elders talking there. But as we prayed about it and as we fasted, we were with you, and we just knew that God was going to do a miracle. And so for those that are brand new today, let me catch you up to kind of what Kingdom Builders is just really quickly, and then I'll get to the part that you really want to hear. I'm getting there, I promise. But we're attempting to renovate this auditorium, the hallways in our kids' classrooms. We're just talking fresh paint, new flooring, things like that. But we're also attempting to launch Church Online, which will be a better blessing to those of us that are serving in the church, that are maybe in another room. That way we can experience the whole service, but also extends our reach. And then we also, and I get excited about it all, but I get really excited about this part. We're also wanting to launch Spanish translation, not like a second person on the platform. I hope those are like your preparation applause, okay? I hope you're getting ready. But not a second person on the platform, but actually a person in another room, like in real time, translating the messages. And so people can wear earpieces here in the service and not skip a beat and kind of do things a little bit different, a little creatively using an app and so forth. So that's what we've been believing for, praying for, fasting for. And so I know you want to hear the numbers, so I'm going to get to them here right now. So I know that it was kind of hard to do the drum roll last week, like on your lap. And so I thought I'd have the band hang up with me for a little bit. And so I want to start with the first fruits. Now, we were believing God for $17,000 to come in first fruits so we could get started quickly, cash in hand. And then we're also believing God for counting first fruits and pledges to have $52,000 to come in over 52 days. And again, if you know our story, Church Revitalization, that would take a miracle. Trust me, I see the numbers. It would take a miracle. But God spoke, and so we just want to be walking in obedience. So Dante, my brother, would you help us out with a little drum roll? All right, believe in God for $17,000 in first fruits. And can I tell you today, really excited to announce, we had $32,000. Come on in. Come on. I like this better with y'all hanging up here with me. That was good. Like y'all heard me, right? Like we're planning, hoping, praying, fasting for 17, and we had 32,000 come in. If you've never been a part of a miracle, I'm telling you, that's a miracle for this house. Like, that just does not happen for a church revitalization. Like, it does not happen. So obviously, we almost doubled that first number. And so in total giving, another drum roll, please, my friend. In total giving, so this is what's been given and pledges, we had a little over 49,000 pledge. Come on. Come on. So what does that mean, Pastor? That means we're doing what we said we're going to do. And so we're really excited about it. I know you're excited. And so I just want to say thank you. It's just awesome to be a part of a church that, like, we're going to step out and we're going to trust God. And even though it seems foolish on our end, if God speaks, we're going to listen to God and do what he says. And so I know that there's some naysayers maybe that are part of this house saying, oh, I didn't think you could do it, so I stepped out of it. Well, I want you to know that God did it. And so there's still room for you on the bandwagon. You can jump on in. And so here's what this looks like moving forward. For the next several months, I told you through the end of the summer, this is going to be turned into a little bit of a construction zone. And so you may show up on one Sunday and floors ripped up. You may show up on one Sunday and there's some weird things happening on the walls and all. I just want you to know, like, that's what's going to happen these next several months. And so the goal would be to do all that renovation and then also purchase the equipment for the launch of those two ministries and raise up volunteers. You know, we need somebody to run camera and church, I mean, all this kind of stuff, to raise all that up and to have all that done by the end of the summer. That way we could have a grand opening sometime in the fall. And so we're excited about the future that God has for us. So again, yeah. So again, I honestly just want to say thank you. Like, thank you so much. We can't do this on our own, and we don't want to do it on our own. And so thank you for everyone. Like, there's many of you here, and like a lot of people gave. Like, there's many of you. Like, thank you so much for your sacrifice. I know some of you had to delay things to give to this. Some of you had your heart set on using it this way, but you used it to build God's house. And I just want to say thank you. Like, thank you so much. I know that these steps are difficult. I'm off script, I'm sorry, but I know these steps are difficult for us to take. But you had faith rise up on the inside of you. And I want you to know it's an honor to be your pastor. And if I had to do it all over again and leave a big church in Dallas to come to a church revitalization, if I could do it all over again, I'd do it again in a second, a millisecond. Like, I would do it again. I'm so thankful to be a part of this. And I'm just telling you, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. And so I didn't plan praying right here, but I just feel that in this house. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's just thank the Lord together as the team slips off here. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done. You alone get the glory. God, literally, we've experienced these last couple of weeks several miracles, acts of you, God. And so I just pray that you would help us to steward and manage the blessing that you're pouring out here at Christ Covenant. We pray over these next 4 months as we renovate and we launch and we expand. We pray that your presence, your favor, your touch would continue to be upon us. And I pray even today that you would inspire many that this is what a life looks like when you listen to God and do what he says. When you step out in faith after you feel like you've heard from you, O Lord. And so I just pray, God, that that would inspire and challenge us. And God, it's all for one purpose, one mission, one vision. It's that heaven would be full and hell would be empty. That we would continue to spread the love of Jesus to those around us. So thank you for the great church that you're building here. Thank you, God, that our best days are ahead of us and not behind us. Thank you, Lord, for a group of people that put their own agenda to the side and they said, you know what, we're going to trust God and we're going to believe God and we're going to step out in faith. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this house. We love you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, I don't know how you move forward from that, but we're going to try here today. Awesome. If you got a copy of God's word with you, would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11? I've got a message to preach, and I think it's really going to touch your heart. Hebrews chapter 11. If you don't have a copy of God's word with you, or if you don't have a Bible app on your smartphone, it'll be on the screen for those that are in the room. But Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're going to be here today. And for those that have been walking with Jesus for a while, you know this passage. In fact, the moment I said Hebrews 11, you were like, great hall of faith, like you just knew. And so for those of us that are brand new believers or not believers yet or have been away from a church long enough or we don't really remember where certain passages are, as we're turning there, this is essentially what we're about to read some of. This is essentially a moment in God's word where God highlights some great men and great women of faith. And let me remind us today that these men and women weren't great because of their talent. They weren't great because of their lineage or how much money they made or all this. Like, they were great because of their faith in God. It's almost like how they give out the green jacket at the Masters, you know, and the gold jacket at the NFL Hall of Fame. Like, these are men and women that God's putting that jacket on saying, you are great because you had faith in me. And we're not going to read the whole chapter. It'd be something you could study this week if you like in your personal time with the Lord. But we're going to read 6 verses, starting in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1. I'm going to jump right in. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen, it was not made out of what was visible. Now, here's some examples that we start with. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead, his legacy is outliving him. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And I think this verse is critical for our purposes today. Verse 6, the last one. And without faith, it is impossible. Like impossible to please God. What does that mean, Pastor? Like it can't happen. Like you cannot make God happy. He is not pleased with you unless you have faith. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and he's rewarded, or then he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I'm calling this message, the standalone message today, Faith on Fire. Faith on Fire. I hope it's okay with you, but I'd like to pray a second time. Will that be all right today? Can we pray twice in the message? Lord, we love you so much, and we just thank you for what you're doing. God, I really feel like this is a message, and for somebody today, I really feel like I'm on assignment, and I just pray, God, whatever group this is for, whatever amount of people this is for, even if it's just for one, I pray, Lord, that you would do a mighty work. God, I'm going to do my best and my part, but it's nothing without your presence, your anointing, your touch. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak because of me and in spite of me, that you would move through my words to penetrate even the hardest of hearts, and that, God, you would do a work so mighty, so powerful, that it would change us for eternity. Lord, we love you, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to get right into it today. If you're taking notes, I hope you'll jot this down. And we're going to talk about faith on fire. Here's the first point from the text. And there's a lot of things we could talk about, but I've just got a few points today. Number one, faith, it's developed in the dark. It's developed in the dark. We see this in verse 1, a famous verse that maybe you memorized out of the King James Version if you grew up in church. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You see, faith is a difficult thing for us as humans, humanity. Why? Because we are no longer in control. Faith is challenging because we're led by God and not by what we can see with our naked eye. Faith is the assurance about what we cannot see. You know, I was thinking about this last week, and parents will relate to this. But I remember back to when my wife Isabel and I, when we had our first child. So for those that have got one child or multiple children, try to go back in your mind's eye to when you had your first one. And going into that, we've got a 6-year-old son now, or about to be 6-year-old in a couple of days, and a 16-month-old daughter. But going back to that time period before we had our son Luke, I remember that we just felt, at least let me speak for myself, that I just felt like I was going to be the perfect parent. Like before we had one child, I felt like I was an expert at raising children. And if you have a child, multiple children, you know that before the first one, you're reading the blogs, right? You're reading the books. You're talking to different people. You make these agreements with yourself that I'm going to do things so much better than my mom and dad did, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I have great parents, and they're here today. But you just have these things that you think you're going to be able to accomplish. And, you know, they're never going to have candy, and they're never going to drink soda. And they're always going to go to bed at 5 p.m., you know. I mean, it's just, y'all laughing because y'all got kids, and you understand what happens. And so, like, just so sure of myself. And again, I don't want to speak for my wife, but that's where I was at. Well, our son, he was born on May 7th. So again, just in a couple of days, he'll be turning 6 years old. And so just like it is now, it was back then that Mother's Day was right around the corner. So remember, we had our son, and we brought him back to our apartment there in Dallas before we had our first home. And we're so excited. And so I had just planned in my heart that, hey, like, we just had our first child. I want our first Mother's Day to be awesome, you know? I mean, like, brand new mom, my wife. Like, I want to make sure, like, this is one to remember. And by the way, the mom in your life, like, get her here next Sunday, okay? Because we're going to honor So moms, there's going to be tears, you're going to laugh, you're going to be celebrated, it's going to be a great thing. So I just thought, man, this is the first one. I've got to make sure that my wife feels amazing. So before we went to church service that Sunday morning, I had put all these things together, and I was thinking about this week. I honestly can't remember all the things I put together, and I think there was a poem there and maybe a flower or two. And so I went into our little room there. We had a one-bedroom apartment. I went from the living room into there, and our son was still sleeping in his little it was like a rocking thing that he had, whatever you would call that. And so he was asleep. And so I went to my wife and I woke her up and I said, "Babe, I love you. You're amazing." And I gave her like all these gifts. And I was like, "Happy Mother's Day." So we really had this like, it was an awesome moment. And just as I'm leaning in, I don't know if you remember this, babe, just as I'm leaning in to kiss her, all of a sudden out of the corner of our room, our son let out the loudest fart. Like I'm talking like shook the room, you know what I'm saying? And I know I just offended some people, so I apologize that I said, like, he had a rumble in his rumpus. That's what happened, okay? He passed gas. Is that better? Like, that's what happened there. And so I was leaning in for the kiss. Do you remember this, babe? I was leaning in. It was loud. And we knew in that moment our lives would never be the same again. Like, literally, like we just knew. And so raising our children, it's been a faith journey. Well, how is faith involved? I'll tell you what you already know. Faith is involved this way. You're praying to God that they don't turn out like you, right? Like, that's faith. Like, that all my messed up parts don't translate to them. And so faith is a journey like this, whether you're raising kids or you're starting a business. I mean, it is a leap of faith, right? It's not just one step at a time. You're saying, "God, I need you to help me out in this way." And faith is actually developed in the dark. Maybe you've seen this up here during the service. Every once in a while, I have some object illustrations here. And this is a real simple one. Nothing crazy, nothing fancy. So I have in my hand a Instax camera. And this is like the old Polaroid. So you take a picture, it pops out the top, not the bottom like it used to. It pops out the top, and eventually a photo is developed. You've seen these before. It's amazing how things are cyclical, right? But back in the day, before anything like this, some will remember this, before you could print out pictures, before you could put them in an album, like not an album on your phone, but like actually like physical album. Before you did that, you had to get your photos developed in a dark room. You remember that period of time? Maybe you even had a class in high school back in the day where you actually practiced some of those techniques. And so in order to have a beautiful picture, the film had to be developed. And so I thought I'd try something here. And don't get nervous. I'm not going to take a picture of you. I thought I'd take a picture of my wife here today just to prove the point. And she showed me how to use this earlier. It's like two buttons, so we'll see if I get it correct. But like Dante said a moment ago, my wife's going to be preaching next week, and it's going to be great. I love you, babe. Happy early Mother's Day. Let me see if I can get a picture. Here. See if that works here. Hey, I did it right. I got my two buttons right. Praise the Lord. And so you see on this picture, so set this down for a second. The right now, the picture is black. And I think I moved my finger, so I think eventually it will be able to develop something. And here's what, oh, did I show the wrong side? It's white. I love you, babe. You're awesome. You know what goes around comes around. I got you next week, okay? Just kidding. So right now, it's blank. It's white. This side will stay black, but this white will eventually develop into something. And really, that's how faith works. That when you obey God and step out in faith and, "Well, God, I don't know how this is going to work out. How am I going to raise these kids? I mean, I've got my issues. God, how am I going to start this business? I mean, I don't know how to do this. Like, God, how am I going to have a holy relationship with this person? Because, you know, I've got a really bad track record here. Like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that?" It takes faith to do anything significant for the Lord, but faith is actually developed in the dark. What do you mean by this? Here's what I mean. That if you want control, you can't have faith. In fact, I'll say it to you this way. If I'm a note taker, I'm probably jotting this down. But you cannot have faith and control at the same time. And we all run into this problem all the time. Because what do we want? We want control. Like, I want to know that when I do this, this will happen. I want to know that when I say yes to this, God, it's going to work out exactly like I want it to work out. But how many of you know faith doesn't work that way? Because faith, you're not led by your sight, what you can see, what you can figure out. Faith is focusing on God, the one we cannot see with the natural eye. Faith is actually developed in the dark. But so many people will say, well, Pastor Ryan, I've got faith, but yet you're not trusting God. I've got faith in the Lord, Pastor Ryan, but you can barely even get to church on a consistent basis. Well, Pastor Ryan, I've got faith in God. Well, when's the last time you actually obeyed something that God asked you to do? You see, faith is that walking in, that moving in the dark. It's moving in the uncertainty that I can't figure it out. I don't know how it's going to end up, but I'm just trusting in God. Faith is developed in the dark. And this is actually developed now. You can't see it from there, but you look good, babe. You did a great, great job on that. Faith is the assurance that Jesus, I'd write this down if I was you. Faith is the assurance that Jesus is who he says he is, and he'll do what he says he'll do. That's what faith is. In fact, I think this is a word for somebody today. Faith is not a feeling, okay? Faith is a decision that you make. Faith is not a formula. It's not a formality. It is real. It is something active. Faith is the assurance that even though I don't know how it's going to end up, God's got this. That's what faith is. It's developed in the dark. So if you're going through darkness today, if you're going through a valley, if you're going through a mess, if there's some uncertainty in your life, can I tell you good news? Because you don't have a lot of good news right now. That's exactly where faith is developed. So instead of focusing on how horrible your life may be right now, focus on the good news that the Lord has for you today, that it's in the dark places that God develops your faith. That it's in those difficult moments where you're led by God and not by yourself, that God does a deep, powerful work. It's the assurance that Jesus is who he says he is, and he'll do what he says he'll do. Here's the second point about faith from the text. Faith is always in motion. It's always in motion. This is the beginning of verse 4. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous. Now, for those that are new to the faith, let me catch you up light speed to who we're talking about here. We're talking about brothers. In fact, we're talking about something that went down in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, the book of beginnings, chapter 4. And we have Abel, who gives a sacrifice to God, and we've got Cain, his brother, that gives a sacrifice to God. But the Bible tells us here, and also in Genesis 4, that God approved of Abel's offering and not of Cain's. And you may be wondering to yourself, why? What's the difference? Why did God like one and not the other? And let me tell you what I believe happened. If you look at Hebrews 11, which we've read together, some of it today, and if you look back at Genesis 4 and the original narrative of Abel and Cain, it doesn't explicitly say why. Like, it doesn't. And if you don't believe me, please read for yourself. It doesn't explicitly say why. But we can use context clues, and we can read and study biblical commentaries, and I believe it points to one reason. And here's the reason that I believe that God honored Abel's sacrifice. Here's why. We see here that Abel had faith inside his soul and it showed up in his life. Just think about it for a moment. That Abel had faith in his soul on the inside, and it showed up in his life. And what did God do? God said, well done. I approve what you have done. So what does this mean for us? Faith is always in motion. Faith is not just a mental state of mind. Faith is actually something that will show up in your life. And so if you have faith, you will live a life that's in obedience to God. That if you genuinely have faith, it will be something easily spotted by others in the way that you live. You don't have faith just because you show up on a Sunday morning every once in a while. You don't have faith just because you give in the offering on Christmas because you feel guilty about it. Like, faith is living a life that says, you know what, God, whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to do it. It's not stagnant. It's not still. Genuine faith is always, always, always in motion. So don't tell me, Pastor, I've got faith, but you aren't serving. Like, don't tell me, Pastor, I've got faith, but you're not giving. You're not walking in obedience. Faith is always in motion. Think about it with me for those that are pushing back here this morning. Think about James chapter 5. We're not going to turn there. You can write down the reference if you like. Think about James chapter 5. What does it say there? It says, faith without works is dead. Like, that's not me talking. That's God talking. Faith without works is dead. What does that tell us? There's a relationship between the two. Faith takes action. It's always in motion. We should always be flexing our faith muscles. I'm just telling you today. Like, we should be living a life of faith. You know, I'll never forget, and maybe you've heard this story before. It's a good one. But I never forget the real story that I heard years ago from a pastor about a famous tightrope walker named Charles Blondin. I don't know if you've heard his story before. But I think it's fascinating. I think it proves our point here today. You can go back with me in your mind to the summer of 1859, and huge crowds would come out to see Charles Blondin walk across Niagara Falls 160 feet in the air. He would walk from the U.S. side to the Canadian side back and forth. And as you can imagine, back then, way before TV, way before social media, like, this was a sight to behold. And so literally these massive crowds would go out to see him do this. And I heard this and I almost even didn't believe it, but I found it online as well. But Charles Blondin, he wouldn't just walk across this tightrope 160 feet in the air. Here's also what he would do. I heard that once he crossed in a sack across this tightrope. I heard once he crossed the 160 feet above the air from the U.S. side to the Canadian side on stilts. I heard another time that he rode a bicycle across. I heard once, and this one's really unbelievable, but I found it online. I heard once that he even carried a stove across and cooked an omelet. Don't you like me now, right? Like, come on. Like, incredible. So on July 15th, Charles Blondin, he's walking backwards across the tightrope to the Canadian side, and then he returns to the U.S. side, again, a huge spectacle, pushing a wheelbarrow, okay? And he's pushing it across, and the crowd is going crazy, as you can imagine. I mean, it would still be something today to just celebrate and cheer. So they're going crazy, they're cheering, and then it's said, it's been passed down, that Charles, he asked the crowd a question. And here's what he asks them. He says, who here believes that I can carry a person across in this wheelbarrow? And the crowd goes crazy. They're like, yeah, you can do it. It's going to be awesome. Yes. And then it's told that he asks a second question. And he asks, who here will volunteer? And again, it's been said, as you can imagine, it got real quiet on that side of Niagara Falls. Well, what's the moral of the story? It's one thing to say you have faith. I got to tell you, I'm a pastor, and anytime people find out I'm a pastor, they got faith all of a sudden. I mean, they catch the Holy Spirit. they haven't been to church in 15 years, but like, I mean, they are just a saint all of a sudden. So I don't even tell people a lot of times. But I got to tell you, faith is not just something you talk about. It's something you actually live out. And here's one of our problems. Can I pick on us Americans? I like to do that all the time. So let me do that today for a moment. Let me pick on us. Here's our problem. We can have faith for somebody else, but it's hard to have faith for us. Like, can anybody relate to that? I know I can. You know, my job as a pastor is to encourage you to have faith. I scream, I shout, I spit. Y'all know I do all those things, plus more. But I'm telling you, sometimes it's a lot easier to preach faith than live it out. If I could just be transparent and honest with you, it's easy to have faith for somebody else. Yeah, you can battle that cancer. You keep having faith. But when cancer touches you, it's a lot harder to live that out. Yeah, you keep having faith. You lost your job. Buck up under it, buckaroo. You're going to be all right. Like, come on, rub some dirt on it. It's going to be okay. But when you actually lose your job and you're missing payment on your bills and you've got stuff that may be repossessed by the bank, it's a lot harder to live out that faith. I'm just being real with you today. I hope that's okay to do in church. It's easy to have faith for somebody else. You get in that wheelbarrow. You can do it. What's wrong with you? You don't want to get up there. But whenever it's your turn, it's a lot harder to live out. What am I challenging you with today? If you have faith, it should constantly be played out in your life. Faith is always in motion. Here's the third thing. Faith moves the heart of God. And I think this is most important. Faith, it moves the heart of God. This is verse 6. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. It just won't happen. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What's this really saying, Pastor? What's really going on here? Here's what it's saying. That you cannot play it safe and please God at the same time. And I'm not talking about doing something stupid in the name of God. I'm not talking about that. But here in America especially, we want to be so comfortable. We want everything so controlled. I got my church box, and then I've got my buddy box, and then I've got my sports box, and we just like compartmentalize everything. We just want everything to be so structured. And I just got to tell you today, that if you're genuinely a Christ follower, you should be following Christ. In fact, a lot of times I don't even call myself a Christian. I call myself a Christ follower because y'all know what you think about when you think of the word Christian. It's somebody that it says they're Christian, like on their profile online, but everything they do in their life does not say that they're a Christ follower. So a lot of times I don't even use that word. That's just a personal thing. Not saying it's wrong to do that. Why? Because I want to follow Jesus. Like if I love Jesus and if I've given my heart to him and my life to him, then I'm going to follow him. I'm going to do what he asked me to do. And the Bible tells us here, I hope you're listening there in the back. The Bible tells us here that genuine faith actually moves the heart of God. He is pleased with us when we live that kind of life. And you know, there's a big myth out there. I'm almost done, so don't phase me out. There's a big myth out there when it comes to faith. A lot of people think that the opposite of faith is doubt. And I don't believe that. When you look at the men and women, specifically in chapter 11, they had some moments of doubt. In fact, they had some issues. They made some big mistakes. But yet God chose to give them that gold jacket at the end of their life. And so I don't think the opposite of faith is doubt. I think the opposite of faith is certainty. Because when you are certain about something, when you know exactly how it's going to work out, you don't need faith. This is a word for somebody. I'm speaking to somebody right now. I can just feel it in the room. You can say I'm over-spiritualized. I can feel it in the room. We want certainty, but if you have certainty, you will not have faith. We want control, but if you have control, it doesn't take faith. Why? Because you're the captain of your life. And if God's calling the shots, if God's in the front seat driving and you're riding shotgun, that takes faith. Some of us here today, we want God to tell us steps 3 and 4, and we haven't even taken steps 1 and 2 yet. Well, Pastor Ryan, what do I do next? Go back to the last thing God told you to do that you didn't do and do that. I'm preaching way better than y'all responded today. I don't know what's going on. I feel good about it. I don't know what's going on. But I'm just telling you, give me 3, 4, 5, 6, 1,000 steps. Do step 1. Obey God. And when you obey God, it moves his heart. He is pleased with you. I'm telling you, God doesn't just want this for us as Christ's followers individually. He wants this for us as a church. My job as the pastor of this church, and hopefully you consider me your pastor if this is your home church, my job is to get you before God one day, and God would say, well done, I am pleased with you. And without faith, you cannot please God. Where'd you get that from? The Bible. The Bible. So I'm trying to get you to a place today where you don't have to see it to believe it. That even though you don't see how it can work out, you know God is greater and he will work it out. Bow your heads with me, close your eyes. Lord, I pray. I got more I want to say, but Holy Spirit, you do way better work than I do. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you'd move in some hearts and lives. Holy Spirit, I pray you convict those in this room, those listening on the podcast, Lord, that maybe they would have called themselves a Christian, but really they were just thinking about religion. Maybe they call themselves a Christian, but that's just because they go to a Christian church every once in a while. God, that's not faith. Faith is developed in the dark. Faith is tied around you, not our circumstance. Faith shows up in our life. It's not just lip service. It's actionable. Faith that pleases you. And without it, you are not pleased. So I just pray for your people today. And Holy Spirit, I pray your conviction would fall upon those that maybe they've been saying something, but they haven't been backing it up. Faith without works is dead. You've called us to be people of faith. Literally, people that follow after you. I pray for those that need hope today in the middle of a dark place, a dark season. I pray that your good news would wash over them, that it's in those dark places, that it's in those dark seasons that you develop our faith. Faith is the assurance of what we do not see. Faith is the assurance that God, you are who you say you are, and you'll do what you say you'll do. Eyes closed, heads bowed, all across the house. Please, no one looking but me. Maybe you're here today and you realize, I really don't have faith in the Lord. I maybe would have said it before I walked in, and somebody would have asked me on the street, hey, are you a Christian? You know, what are you into? Like, I would have said, yeah, but really there's no substance in my life. Really, there's no devotion. I'm not talking about a religious thing. I'm talking about a relationship with the Savior of the world. The one who died on the cross. The one who rose from the dead for you. And today, Jesus wants to bridge that gap. He wants to do a mighty work in your life, especially those that are far from him, underneath the sound of my voice. And so if you're here today, in this room, if you're listening online, if that's you, you just feel God tugging at your heart. Maybe you've been playing a game. Maybe you've been pretending. But when it really comes down to it, there's no faith. And as you sense that and as you feel God tugging at your heart, you're like, you know what? I want that to change. Today, May 5th, I want to put my faith and trust in God. Not just be lip service or words, but today I would start with my life, committing it to Him and following Him. So if that's you, you're far from the Lord, but today you want to make a fresh commitment to Him. If that's you, would you raise your hand so I can know who I'm praying for? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You can put it down. Thank you. Anybody else? Today's your day. Today's your day. Here's what we're going to do. Keep your eyes closed, please. To several that raised their hands in this room and also those that are listening online, you're saying, that's me. I want to lead you in a prayer. It's a prayer of commitment to the Lord. It's a prayer of surrender. It says, Jesus, you're my captain. You're driving. I'm riding shotgun. You're leading. I'm following. Then when you ask me to do something, I'm going to try my best to do it. It's a prayer of commitment to the Lord. So those that raise their hand and also the Christ followers that support, would you repeat this out loud and mean it with all your heart? Say this, dear Jesus, thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. But it's mine. And so today, I receive you as my Savior, as my Lord, the captain of my life. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And so I ask you to forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. Jesus, I will follow you all the days of my life. Jesus, I commit my life to you. Give me faith to trust you and believe in you through the highs and through the lows. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ's Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.